This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that's beginning to wonder if it has an unconference addiction. We have another Meet Your Affiliates for you that we recorded the same day as the one with Karsh from Black Gay Blogger at SoCon. This one is with Stephen Illy. Rusty interviews him while I sit by exhausted. He is the host of Escape Pod, yet another one of our proud Georgia Podcast Network affiliates.
This is Rusty and Amber, and we're here at Kennesaw State University. It's February 10th. We're just here after the conclusion of SoCon, and we're also here with...
Hi, I'm Steve Healy with Escape Pod.
Excellent. So how long has Escape Pod been running?
We started May 12th, 2005.
Okay.
And, 2:43 p.m. or something. I don't know, some crap PM, like that. Yeah. So,
but, you apparently have done pretty well with the listenership. How many listeners do you have at this point?
Well, as always, calculating podcast statistics is more of an art than a science.
Absolutely.
But my best guess on relatively unique downloads per episode after a couple weeks, blah, 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 comes to about, I think we get about 10,000 regular listeners.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we got about 6,000 and something listeners on our feed burner.
What's the basic premise of the podcast?
We narrate science fiction and fantasy short stories.
So is that all original stuff?
Yeah, well, no, actually, we do a lot of reprints, you know, stories that were in Asimov's or in Analog or the major science fiction magazines. What we do, we buy the audio rights to the stories from the authors. We're actually proud to be, we were the first paying content market in podcasting, where we actually paid for the material that we were podcasting, because I know if we were going to get good short stories, authors like to eat.
Absolutely. So, everybody does.
Yeah, so we started out, I mean, you know, back when I started, I had no idea if we were going to be able to break even on this at all, so we were paying like $20 a story. Mm-hmm. Just out of my own wallet, and I made very clear early on that, yeah, we were relying on the kindness of strangers to help make this work, and we solicited donations to balance the scales on that. And I was very pleased. I mean, by our third month, we had already broken even on the stories we're getting. We were able to raise our payment rates to $50 a story, and now we're paying $100 a story.
Excellent.
And we're still in the black on that. So.
Where do you find stories?
Most of them are submitted to me. We basically run like any other fiction market, where we're listed in the major market listings, and so authors, you know, send me their stories, and we're particularly lucky in the fact that because we're not looking for all original stories, we're happy to take reprints. Mm-hmm. So if it's a story someone else has already sold before, you know, there are very few audio markets out there for short fiction, so they're just as happy that they didn't have us do it in audio. Mm-hmm. Most authors find that really fun to be able to hear their stories done as well.
Yeah.
So they send it to us.
How does your voice talent work? Do you just have one person read it, or do you have several people read? Or
it started that way for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I was pretty much doing it myself, and that gets old. And my female voices were probably driving people to distraction. So we have a pool of volunteers. It's mostly other podcasters. We've had a few like professional or semi-professional voice actors as well. My wife has read a few of them, but pretty much it's primarily podcasters who do it.
What, going into this, what expectation did you have that has not come true, that was completely different from what you expected going into it?
Well, I think I actually expected slower growth than we've had. I probably underestimated the amount of time that this would take every week.
Yeah.
It got to the point where actually I ended up quitting my day job and finding work as a software contractor from home just so I'd have the time to be able to continue to put this together. Because it's not just a matter of editing the audio for the podcast. It's also networking with people to get the narrations done. It's reading through all of the stories to determine which ones we're going to buy. It's a lot of communication with the authors. And, just the amount of email volume that gets generated out of something like this really blew my mind. So just simply finding the time to handle all the administrative stuff was a bit of a surprise to me.
What expectation did come true?
My wife thought I was insane at the fact that we'd be able to sustain this at all. Mm-hmm. But, I had set a time limit of, $20 a week, that's... $500 was what we can do in 6 months. I'd have spent that on video games otherwise.
Yeah.
Not that I have time to play them anymore. But, so The financial part and the generosity of people has really blown me away. And what I've been pleased to find is that if you allow people to set their own value on content, then oftentimes people are more generous than if you put a price tag on it. You know, I've had people, my accountant and lots of other people have said, well, when are you going to start charging for these things? And I said, never. That would make no sense at all for us to charge things, because as soon as you put a barrier up in front of the content, you say, this will cost you $5 to download, or even if it will cost you $1 to download, then people have to pull out their credit cards, and you know, there's the hurdle there, regardless of what you charge, where if people don't know what they're getting, then they're not going to decide that the value is worth it to them. So I give it away for free, and then we have a small but sizable minority of our listeners that then pay us back. The other thing I ask is, you know, if you like what you're hearing, tell your friends about us, blog about us, that sort of thing.
How long is a typical episode?
Well, it depends on the story length. Our guidelines say we're looking for stories between 2,000 and 6,000 words, which is roughly between about 20 minutes and about 45 minutes or so.
And so you tell, do you ever break a story apart into two?
No,
parts?
We don't serialize. No. That down that road lies madness, really. because the thing is, what people want, and the experience that we're delivering with short fiction is that you can digest a story very quickly. Yeah, you get into it, it awakens your imagination for a while, it captivates you, and then you're done. It's not a chat. Having to read through the entire thing like a novel. It's something that. Basically, what I said, the length of it was defined initially as the maximum length of my commute. Yeah. So we would always be doing things less than an hour.
Yeah.
Well, now my commute's down the stairs, you know, into my living room, so that's... I don't go by my own commute anymore.
Less than 30 seconds doesn't
work. But we do try and keep things short enough that people can listen to a story in one sitting. And if we broke it in half and you didn't get the ending until the next week, then we're not really meeting that goal of giving people something that they can just listen to, be taken away by, and then, just come back for something different the next week.
Would you ever consider more going along a more episodic route for any part of the podcast? Or
You mean like, you know, serialized stories and things?
Yeah.
Well, we do have one series of stories. There's a series called Union Dues by one of our authors, Jeffrey R. Derego. And he emailed me early on and said, I have this series of linked stories, and I thought, would you be interested in them? I said, well, you're welcome to send us the stories one at a time, like any other, any other stories. And we'll treat each one as an individual story, and it has to be able to stand on its own merits. Luckily, he was a good enough writer that we've bought several of his. We've rejected a few, so we haven't done them all, in straight linear order. It's just based on my determination if it's good enough for our audience. But he's actually one of our most popular authors right now. People love his, these are stories of superheroes in a world where the superheroes are not necessarily being treated like heroes all the time.
Out of the stories you receive, how many... A rough ratio, how many would you say you accept versus reject?
Let's see, I have a submissions editor who helps me with that. And I think last we calculated, we probably buy about 10% of what's submitted to us, which is still quite a bit higher than a lot of fiction markets are. But again, it's largely established authors who have even heard of us at this point. So I should be happy when the more submissions we get, then the more quality we have to choose from.
Yes. Where can people listen?
At escapepod.org.
All right.
Or you can find us in iTunes and in all your usual favorite podcast directories, including the Georgia Podcast Network.
Georgia Podcast Network. Yes, thanks to Stephen, one of our proud Georgia Podcast Network affiliates.
Yeah.
Take care. Thanks.
Have fun.
Interested in podcasting? Want to mingle with other podcasters or learn how to get started yourself? Then mark your calendar for PodCamp Atlanta, happening March 16th through 18th at Emory University. For more information and to add yourself to the registration list, visit podcampatlanta.com. And by the way, it's free.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.